Now you ready, y'all.
Good morning, Orange, New Jersey. We are the Hebrew Israelites of Newark, New Jersey. And we're here to bring to you the word of the Lord. I ask that the Almighty give me the strength and the power to deliver the word, not of my own word, but of His understanding and will. Give me John 14:15. Talk about love. Everyone always talk about love these days. What is love? What is love? Talk about we love our family. We love our animals. We love where we live. But do you ever think about what does it mean to love the Almighty? And what does He require of us to love Him? Love the Almighty. What does He require? Well, basically, we like to understand that when we love our wife, we like to show her that we love her by talking to her, buying her gifts, so on and so forth.
That's right.
Your animals, what are you doing? You feed them. You take them for a walk. You give them water. You do these things to show your love. But how do you show your love for the Most High? Especially on a day like today. Today is the Sabbath day, the holy Sabbath day that the Almighty has ordained for us to follow. Every seventh day, it gives you 6 days to do your own due diligences. 6 days. That should be enough. And He only requires 1 day of Him, for Him. Let's see what the Word says. John 14:15.
Book of John, chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Say, He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's a command. Commandment. Commanding you to do something. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And today is one of those commandments that shall keep the Sabbath day holy. Today is that day. And as I look around, I see people shopping on that day, doing their own due diligences, doing what they wish to do on His day. Do you not think that the Almighty is displeased with you on His day? Yes, absolutely.
Right.
Just like a father is displeased with his son when he asks his son to do something, take out the garbage, wash the dishes, and your son doesn't do it. How do you think that father feels? Displeased. By the same token, if that son does those things that you ask him to do, such as wash those dishes, take out the dog, take out the garbage, He's pleased with you. The same thing with the Almighty. He is pleased when you follow His commandments. Say that again, please.
John 14:15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. So I ask you a question today. Are you keeping His commandments? And I'm only asking about one right now. Are you keeping the Sabbath holy? Are you keeping it holy? Question yourself. And the answer should be no, because you're not. See, we're here as the Hebrew Israelites to show you as an example of what you should be doing on this particular day. Honoring the Most High on this particular day. Let's talk about the Sabbath. Give me Exodus 20, verse 8 to 11. We'll talk about the Sabbath. Let's talk about the Sabbath a little bit more. The Sabbath, the day that the Almighty has ordained for you to give reverence to Him on His day. If you're not doing that, then that causes a problem. What do you have?
Exodus chapter 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. This is something that should be ingrained in your mind, in your psyche,
right,
in your body, in your system. Keeping the Sabbath day holy. Read that again, please.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Keep it holy. Go to the next verse.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
How many days?
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God.
6 days you should do your labor. But on the seventh day, you should do his due diligences. Right. That's what he requires of you. The Sabbath. Today is the Sabbath. And when does it begin? You might want to ask yourself that question. When does the Sabbath day begin? It begins Friday sunset to Saturday sunset, in case you didn't know. So now you know. So now you are responsible for that knowledge and understanding that knowledge. Okay? Give me Deuteronomy 11 and 1. We're talking about the Sabbath. Deuteronomy 11 and 1. The Sabbath. Keeping it holy. Keeping it holy. And that's very important. Because if you're not keeping it holy, guess what? You're committing what is called a sin. We'll talk about that also too. You're committing a sin every Sabbath day if you're not honoring this particular day. What do you have there?
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 1. Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always.
You see, these are things he's asking you to do. Read that one more time. Listen very clearly. What is he asking you to do?
Therefore, thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always.
That's what you should be doing on this particular day. Let's talk about if you're not doing his due diligence on this particular day, you're committing what is called a sin. And we're going to find out what is sin. Give me Deuteronomy 11 and 1. Deuteronomy 11 and 1.
Just read that.
I'm sorry, give me 1 John, it's a lot. 1 John 3 and 4. 1 John 3 and 4, talking about sin. Because if you're not honoring the Sabbath, you're committing what is called a sin. 1 John 3 and 4, you're committing a sin. We're going to find out what that sin is. Let me know when you're ready.
1 John chapter 3, verse 4, whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law.
You're committing sin. You're transgressing the law. And what is the law? It's a commandment. Thou shalt keep the Sabbath holy. If you're not keeping that day holy, you're committing a sin. You're transgressing the law, which means you're going against the law. Transgressing right. of the law. We need to understand it and keep that in our mind, in our spirit, in our daily walk. These are things we need to do. Give me Romans 6 and 23. Romans 6 and 23. Sin. What is it doing to us? There's something to be paid. There's always something to be paid when you're doing something wrong. If you do something wrong in the city, you get pulled over by the cops and you're driving your car, what happens? You get a ticket. And if you have some warrants for your arrest, guess what? You're being arrested. Okay, what do you have there? Read it out.
Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The wages of sin is death. What's that last part again?
But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The wages of sin is death. The last part says, read that one more time, please. Nice and clear.
For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
The gift of God is eternal life. But if you're committing sin, you're transgressing the law. For the wages of sin is death.
That's right.
The wages of sin is death. You work all week on your job, you expect to receive wages. You expect to receive compensation for what you do. So guess what? You're receiving a compensation for what you do when you sin. And what is that compensation?
For the wages of sin, Romans 6 and 23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord.
So you see, there is something to be gained in a negative way if you're not honoring the Most High on a Sabbath day. For the wages of sin is death. You're shopping on a Sabbath. Every Saturday, you are committing a sin. You are committing a sin. You're transgressing the law. That's what you're doing. I'm not going to hold back from telling you what you need to know. You need to know this, because some of you may not know it. It's very important to know what the Almighty expects of you. Give me Isaiah 58:1. Isaiah 58:1, because you see, I am talking to you through this mic, because some of you may not hear me, but maybe this mic may help you. So I'm crying out loud for you to hear me. What do you have there?
Isaiah 58:1, cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people the transgression, and house of Jacob their sins.
Okay. Read that one more time, please.
Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet.
Cry out, lift up thy voice like a trumpet. And that's what I'm doing. I'm crying out loud so you can hear what I'm saying. What did I talk about previously? I talked about transgressing of the law. I talked about Passover. I talked about the
Sabbath day.
I just lost my mind. The Sabbath. Very important. So that's why I'm crying out loud so you can hear me. Cry out loud so our people can hear what I am saying. All right, read that one more time, please.
Cry aloud, spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet and show my people the transgression and the house of Jacob their sins.
Good. So I'm crying out loud. I'm sparing not. Sparing not your feelings. I don't care about your feelings. I'm crying out loud like a trumpet. And a trumpet is designed to warn the people, to let you know. To let you know what's expected. That loud sound. You've heard a trumpet before. Like a bugle is there to warn you about your transgressions. Because you're dishonoring the Most High on His Sabbath day. Let's just give me Hebrews 4:12. Hebrews 4:12. Crying out loud. So you can hear exactly what the men of the Lord are talking to you about. Especially on this Sabbath day. Very important. We are the Hebrew Israelites. There's going to be a day where you're going to wish that we're here on these corners. And speaking the word of the Most High. Because one day we may not be here. And you're going to look for us. And we will not be there. What do you have there?
Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
The word of God is like a two-edged sword and sharper. Read it one more time.
Zaki, off my page. 4:12.
Yes.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints of marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
See, that knife cuts like a two-edged sword. Cuts right into the bone and the marrow of everyone. Your mind, your body, your spirit. It cuts right into you. When it cuts, that means it's there to be for a long time. It's there to warn you. You can't get rid of it. Because once you hear this word, it's embedded in your mind. It's embedded there for you to understand that what you're doing is incorrect and not following the words of the Most High. Give me 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. This word cuts like a knife. If you're standing before us, you are hearing this word. And this word will not depart from you. Because when you walk away, you will understand and say to yourself, I heard something that resonated with my spirit that would not leave my psyche at all. What do you have there?
2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways.
If my people shall turn from their wicked ways, then will I do what I need to do, says the Most High. Read that one more time.
If my people, which are called by my name.
My people. And who are his people? The 12 tribes of Israel.
Right.
My people, that is a possessive pronoun, if you may. My people. And who is his people? The 12 tribes of Israel. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Ephraim, Simeon, Zebulun. Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Naphtali, Asher, Issachar. Issachar. And these are the people he's talking about when he says, my people. He's not talking about any other nation. He's talking about my people. The people that are on this 12 tribes chart. If you're not on this chart, then he's not talking about you.
Bring it out.
Read that one more time, please.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
Humble ourselves. You have to humble yourself. You can't walk up here thinking that you know everything about the word. Because I don't know everything about the word. I'm still learning myself. But you should not have the spirit of walking up here thinking you know something. The best thing to do is to be humble. Humble yourselves. If my people will humble themselves, read one more time, please.
If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
So you must turn from your wicked ways. When you turn from your wicked ways, then he will heal your land.
That's right.
He cannot heal your land if you're still doing your own diligences, your own wicked deeds. Not a good thing. Let's talk about his people. Give me 1 Peter 2 and 9. We're going to find out who his people are. And who's he talking about? I touched upon it very briefly about the 12 tribes of Israel. And those are his people. But let's see what the scripture says about it. He's going to 1 Peter 2 and 9. His people. So we can have a complete understanding as to who he's talking about. So when you get that, let me know, please. His people.
First Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation.
For ye are a chosen generation. Who are ye that he's talking about? He's talking about the 12 tribes of Israel. For ye are a chosen generation. When someone chooses you to be part of something, that's a very special thing. If I choose you to be on my basketball team, on my football team, that means I respect what you're doing, and therefore I choose you to be on my team. It's what the Most High does. He has chosen us to be on his team, his holy team, the 12 tribes of Israel. Read that one more time, please.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people.
A holy nation. He's talking about his people. A peculiar people. Did you know you're a queen, young lady? Did you know that? The Most High has dedicated you to be a queen within his establishment of the 12 tribes of Israel. Some of us don't care. We walk around with an "I don't care about that." But you know, one day when that sky cracks and the Almighty comes back, you're going to think about the men of the Lord. Read that one more time, please.
But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
See, he has chosen us and brought us out of the darkness into his marvelous light. You see, things are happening today. You hear about what's happening with Kanye and who's the other guy? Kyrie. They're being used to bring out an understanding about what we've been talking about for what? For up 10 years.
That's right.
But it seems like when the so-called celebrities are faced with something, a dilemma, everyone tends to want to wake up and say, "Oh, wow. Is that what the Hebrew Israelites was talking about in the corners every Saturday, every holiday, every Saturday during the week?" Yes! That's exactly what we do. So why does it take a celebrity for us to wake up? Read that one more time, please.
1 Peter 2, verse 9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, and ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light.
Do you not understand that? That you are a peculiar people. That's what you are. A holy nation. A people chosen by the Most High to be on His team. How can you not understand that and want to be a part of that? But yet, what do? We shop on the Sabbath. We do our own due diligences. We do what we need to do. We transgress the law. Even though this word cuts like a knife, and you still do not listen. So what do we do as a people? Give me Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 28:16. What do we do as a people? Deuteronomy 28. After that, before this.
Before this, I got a precept.
Okay, it's in the precept.
Deuteronomy 7, verse 6. For thou art an only people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God has chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people.
A special people unto himself above all people. No, some people.
Above all people.
No, just the Asians.
Above all people.
No, above, no, the Romans.
Above all people.
No, the Philippines.
Above all people.
That's what he said. Above all people.
That's right.
All people.
That's right.
Not some. He has chosen you to be a peculiar people above all people. This is what we are. His people. Give me Deuteronomy 28:16. Deuteronomy 28:16. What do we do as a people? We got to find out. Even though the Most High has chosen us as His very own, a peculiar people, a chosen one. But what do we do? Read out.
I'll start from verse 15. 28.
Hold on.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
If we do not hearken, and what does hearken mean? That's a question. What does hearken mean? If you do not listen, hearken to his word, then guess what? You're going to be punished. You will be punished because you are not hearkening unto the word of the Most High. That's what we're talking about. You're not hearkening, you're not listening to the word of God. Now read that again, please. Read the same one.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
If you don't hearken and do the word, understand what the word is, and listen to his word, then you're going to be punished. The same thing as if your father or your mother would tell you to do something, and you do not adhere to that, you do not listen to your mother or father, you will be punished. This is the same thing the Most High is saying to you. Read that one more time, please.
But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
You see, the Most High says, if you do not adhere to his word, all these curses will come upon you because you did not hear and listen to his word. Just like your parents would do, they will punish you. Not because they hate you, it's because he loves you and he's chastising you. Read on, please.
Verse 16, cursed shalt thou be in the city and cursed shalt thou be in the field.
Cursed shalt thou be in the city. And curse shall that be in the field. Look around. Orange, New Jersey, Newark, Trenton, Jersey City.
Right.
All these areas. Are we living in the suburbs? No. These are areas that we live in because of our non-listening to the Most High. We do not adhere to his word. Read that again, please. One of the curses.
Curse shalt thou be in the city and curse shalt thou be in the field.
Cursed shall I be in the city and the field. Read the next one, please.
Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store.
Read on.
Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kind and the flocks of thy sheep.
The fruit of your body shall be cursed, which means your children shall be cursed as well. Because if you're not adherence to the word, cursed shall your children be. You see, this is a generational thing. Because our forefathers did not adhere to the word, and we replaced them, at least this is our third captivity. Yes, it is. Because we are people who do not listen. We are thick-headed. That's who we are. We are thick-headed people. And as a result of that, we are being cursed. And you know what a curse is? A curse is something that, wow, you don't want to be cursed. If you're cursed, then you're going to be going through it. Absolutely. Read the next one, please.
Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
Cursed shall I be when you go in and go out. That means it will never leave you because you're cursed. The Almighty has placed a curse upon you. I don't care if you say, well, I'm out of Newark. I'm out of here. I'm out of Orange, New Jersey. I'm going to go to another area, Arizona, Scottsdale, Arizona, and live the good life. You know what? It doesn't matter where you go. Because once you're cursed, you're cursed. And those curses will follow you no matter where you go. You will be cursed. Read on.
That's it on that.
That's it on that. Okay, give me Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19.
That's not it.
Okay, one second.
It's verse 20. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke in all that thou settest thine hand for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly.
See, it doesn't matter what you do. See, we're going through all these pestilences. We went through COVID-19. There's another one coming up. Be aware, and it may be even more dangerous, not maybe, but will be more dangerous than the first one. And we know how COVID-19 was. It's not a good thing at all. The pestilences. These are things that our people are undergoing because we do not adhere to the Most High Himself. We want to do our own due diligences. Okay, give me Acts 3:19. Acts 3:19. When you got that, give it to me. See, the Most High is watching and He's taking note. Every day He's taking note of what we're doing. He's writing it down. His angels are very busy. When it comes time to let you know exactly what you did during the time when you should have been listening to the Most High, you will be adhered. Go ahead.
Acts 3:19. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out.
You see, because of our sins and all that we're doing, I mean, you're going to sin. But you have to understand that when you sin, you have to repent for that.
Right.
You must repent so that your sins may be blotted out. In other words, done away with. And sin no more. Read that again, please.
Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord.
So your sins be blotted out. Give me 2 Chronicles 7:14. 2 Chronicles 7:14. What we need to do as blacks, Hispanics, and Native Americans, so that sins may be blotted out. What do you have there?
2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land.
So you must listen, adhere to His word, and only then will He heal your land.
That's right.
You can't expect the Almighty to do something for you if you're not doing what He needs for you to do. It doesn't work that way. It does not work that way. So we talked about love. Go back to love again. Give me again John 14:15. John 14:15. If you love the Most High, These are things you need to do. And we talked about John 14 and 15. John 14 and 15, love again. Revolves around the word love. Read it again, please.
John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. But what do we do? Give me Isaiah 39. If ye love me, keep my commandments. But what do we do as a people? What do we do? Isaiah 30 and 9. Because we're not adhering to his word.
I thought Romans 3 and 23 after that.
Okay. So we got Isaiah 30 and 9. We're going to talk about our attitude and what we're doing as a people. Isaiah 30 and 9. Because we are thick-headed people. We do not listen. And some of us grow up that way as young children because you're not being chastised by your parents. What do you have there?
Isaiah 30 and 9, that this is a rebellious people.
What type of people?
Rebellious people.
No, we're smooth people. What type of people are we?
Rebellious people.
We are rebellious people. We do not listen. This is why we're in our third captivity. And believe it, this is the last captivity. If you do not adhere to this word now and understand, you will be lost. Right. As I've said before, if you do not adhere, you will be lost. You will be lost. Read again.
That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things.
You see, because us the people
prophesy deceits.
Thank you. So you see, we are a rebellious people. We like hearing smooth things. As well, as I look towards my left across the street, we usually have this pastor from some church. He's not here today. I guess it's too cold for him. The elements are a little bit too much for him. But you see, we're out here, the men of the Lord, because we want our people to hear the word of the Lord and to do the right things, not hear smooth things, because somehow we like hearing smooth things. These Christian churches, they are diabolical.
Right.
They're not good for your psyche at all. I don't care how many days you go to church during the week, on Sunday, which is not the Lord's Day. The Sunday is an abomination day. It's a day of abomination. You're worshiping the sun god Ra, not the Most High himself. Read that again, please.
That this is a rebellious people, lying children, children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things, prophesy deceits.
See, sometimes the truth hurts. And this word hurts. It cuts like a knife.
That's right.
You don't want to hear what hurts. You want to hear those smooth things. My pastor, pork chop. That's what you want to hear.
That's right.
Chitlin eating.
And first lady neck bone.
And first lady neck bone. That's what you want to hear.
That's right.
These things are not good for your salvation. It's not. Read it one more time again.
That this is a rebellious people, lying children. Children that will not hear the law of the Lord, which say to the seers, see not, and to the prophets, prophesy not unto us right things, speak unto us smooth things.
Smooth things. So what do we need to do as Israelites? Go to Revelation 18:4. What do we need to do? Revelation 18 and 4. First of all, like I said before, we need to repent, to be converted, so that thy sins may be blotted out. We need to adhere to the Sabbath day and keep it holy. These are things we need to do. What do you have there?
Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Come out of her, my people. so that you may not partake of her plagues. Do you not hear that? Come out of her, my people. And who are his people? The 12 tribes of Israel, as depicted on this chart, as I have said it earlier. Judah, Benjamin, Levi, Ephraim, Simeon, Zebulun, Manasseh, Gad, Reuben, Naphtali, Asher, and Issachar. These are the people he's talking about. These are his people. Read it one more time, because some of us, we are such a rebellious people, we do not want to hear the word of the Lord. Read that again.
And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come. What?
You heard what I said.
No, I didn't. What did you say?
Come over here. Let's converse. Let's converse. Come over here, converse. You see?
You're the devil.
You see, people flee when no one... What's that? What's
Proverbs,
that
Proverbs 28
and 1. Proverbs 28 and 1. Listen to this. Proverbs 28. This is for you. This is for you. Because you are rebellious people. That's what we're talking about.
Proverbs
28 and 1. This is for you. Don't run. Don't hide. Come over here and hear the word of the Lord. Because you are afraid of the word.
You gotta read it, guys.
Read it.
Proverbs 28 and 1. The wicked flee when no man pursueth.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth.
That's right.
That's what you are doing. A coward. That's what you are. I am not holding back my tongue. You are a coward. And you will pay for that. Because more than likely you're shopping on the Sabbath. You coward.
Coward.
Let's go. Read that again one more time.
The wicked flee when no man pursueth. But the righteous are bold as a lion.
We are bold as a lion. The wicked flee when no man pursueth. And that's what you just witnessed. They'll say little words back and forth to try to knock you off your spirituality.
Read up.
But it's not going to work. Read it one more time. You have a question, young man? You have a question?
I kind of know everything y'all talking about.
Like, good, that's a good thing. Praise the Most High.
I want everything, like how the Jews fucked us over, the draconian reptilians, Pleiadians, all
of them. No reptilians, so not none of that. That's a little sci-fi stuff going on there.
Right, I think that shit true. I think that shit true, bro.
It's not true.
Well, I know the hierarchy.
I'm going to tell you why it's not true. Go to 1 Corinthians, the 15th chapter.
1 Corinthians, 15th chapter.
I'm going to show you why
chapter.
It's not true.
Yeah.
I'm going to show you why it's not true. You know what I'm saying? So you gotta be careful with that. You know, y'all cool toward science and stuff like that. You know, you got to be careful of that. 1 Corinthians, 15th chapter, start at verse, if I'm correct, it's 39. You know what I'm saying?
39.
Yeah, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39. Start right there. I'm pretty sure. Let me see that book first.
Also, she's got the same.
Yeah, there we go. That's what I need right there. Look at that. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 39.
All right. 1 Corinthians 15.
Stay right there, brother.
1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh.
So the Bible says all flesh is not the same flesh. So when the Most High created man, he didn't mix them with dog, cat, rat, cow, reptile, snake, none of that. All flesh is not the same flesh. Okay? You know how sometimes they try to do a human heart transplant. They take a human, put a pig in a pig heart in them or something like that, or a baboon heart in them. It won't match. They die. Why? Because you can't mix human's flesh with cattle's flesh. You understand what I'm saying? You can't mix that. Okay? This is what I'm talking about. So it says all flesh is not the same flesh. Read on.
But there is one kind of flesh of men.
There's a what? A kind of flesh of what?
But there is one kind of flesh of men.
So men have one type of flesh. So there's no three-quarter reptilian. There's no three-quarter reptilian, dog, rat, cat, none of that stuff. It's one flesh of men. When the Most High created man, he created man from the dust of the ground. Right? When he created the beasts of the field, they were created from the dust of the ground too, but separate, not together. There was no mingling of that. So read that from the top again.
1 Corinthians 15, verse 39. All flesh is not the same flesh.
So the Bible says all flesh is not the same flesh. All right? So when they're talking about, you know, the white man is three quarters reptile and snake and lizard, no. You're going against the Most High when you say that. Because all flesh is not the same flesh. Read on.
All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men.
There's one kind of flesh of what?
Of men.
Of men. So men have one kind of flesh. All nations have one kind of flesh, right?
What verse is that?
1 Corinthians 15, verse 39. Right. There's one kind of flesh of men, right? So all men have the same flesh. This is why a white person, if we have the same blood type, get a blood transfusion from you. You understand what I'm saying? Vice versa. Or a Chinese person, because we all have the same blood types, things like that. That's why, for example, if when they have people donating their organs and everything, those organs could go into what? Any human. Because we have the same type of flesh. But as long as it's a match with the blood types. That's it.
Why they be kidnapping us and taking our organs? And
why do you think? Because we're the Lord's chosen people. We got the best of the best, baby. We got the best of the best. That's why you got to protect your woman and protect your children. Because we got the best of the best. Now, hear the rest of this. Read it from the top again.
All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men.
There's one kind of flesh of men. Read on. And only man.
Another flesh of beasts.
Another flesh of beasts. Cattle have the same type of flesh. Dogs have the same type of flesh. Lions have the same type of flesh. Read on.
Another of fishes.
Another of what?
Fishes.
Another of fishes. So you can't take a fish heart, put it in a lion, ain't gonna work. Heart too small. You can't take a lion heart, put it in a fish. Damn heart bigger than the fish. You know what I'm saying? Boop, 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 boop. You know what I'm saying? Ain't gonna work, bro. You know what I'm saying? So now when they sit there and tell you, yeah, white man is 3/4 lizard and snake and dragon and all that. Nah, you don't know what they're talking about. Because God said, God is the creator of everything. He created all men. He created the righteous men and he created wicked men. Right? So in him creating righteous men and wicked men, this is what it is. You see what I'm saying? Read on.
And another of birds.
Another of what?
Birds.
Of birds. You know why? Because when the Most High created birds, he didn't create them out of the dust of the ground. He created them out of the water. And they came and they flew out. That's in the Genesis right there. So when we're talking that science, the truth. See, this is what you got to understand. You didn't know that was in the Bible. That's why you wrote it down. You know why? Because the Bible is not a religious book. It's called the Book of Life for a reason. The first chapter of Genesis is science. That's the science on how the heavens and the earth was created. How man was created, how animals were created. That's Genesis, the first chapter. Just to let you know. So here you go, bro.
Thank you. Appreciate
great, that. Wonderful.
Hey, my man, take a flyer with you. Sir.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
There's some information up there.
I'm sure the brother was edified as to his question about certain things concerning the flesh.
Yeah, I definitely will.
So as we were talking about earlier, our people are commanded to come out of her, to come out of this Babylonian system, this corporatized system, which has caused more harm than good. We are commanded to come out of this system. Go to Revelation 18:4 again. We're commanded to come out of this system. My people are commanded to come out of this system, this Babylonian system. What do you have there?
Revelation chapter 18, verse 4. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues.
Come out of her, my people. My people. So that you may not be partakers of her sins. You are commanded to do so, my people. Give me Amos 3 and 2. Amos 3 and 2. He's talking about my people, as depicted earlier, to not commit sin, transgression of the law, honoring the Sabbath, showing love for the Most High. What do you have there? Amos 3 and 2. Amos 3 and 2. We're going to talk about.
Here we go. Amos chapter 3, verse 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
You only have I loved. You. He's talking about you. Blacks, Hispanics, and Native American Indians. You only have I loved. Read that again.
Amos 3 and 2. You only have I known of all the families of the earth.
Of all the families of the earth, you only have I loved.
Right.
You. That should mean something. When someone tells you they love you, and only you, that means something. That means a lot. You only have I loved. Read it again.
You only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you for all your iniquities.
You only have I loved. of all the families of the earth. Therefore, I will punish you. Because when a father loves his children, he chastises them to teach them right, to steer them in the right direction. And that's what the Most High is doing to us. And yet we still are not adhering to his word. We're not honoring the Sabbath. We're not honoring the Sabbath. Give me Deuteronomy 28 and 15. Again, because you're not honoring the Sabbath, we're going to talk about the curses again. Deuteronomy 28 and 15. Go ahead.
Deuteronomy 28, verse 15. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee.
You see, it all goes back to the curses. And you can only, there are 10 commandments that was given to Moses that brought down to his people, but there are over 613 laws. But if you follow the 10, more than likely you're doing right by the 613. He says, only you have I loved. Therefore, I will punish you so that you may steer your direction in the right direction, a righteous direction. And that's what we're talking about. Talk about the Sabbath again. Back to the Sabbath, because we are on the Sabbath. Exodus 20 and 8. This is the Sabbath. It behooves the Most High to see you shopping on this particular day. Shopping on his day. The Sabbath day, the day that's been reverenced to him, the holy day. But yet we're walking around doing our own due diligences as if we do not have a care in the world. Go ahead.
Exodus 20, verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's what we need to do. A lot of us are walking around not even knowing our nationalities. Not even knowing your nationality. I was once in the same arena with you.
Right.
I didn't know my nationality. Do you know your nationality, sir? Who are you? Can hear you.
What'd you say?
Tell us again. Okay. We have to know our nationalities. We are Hebrew Israelites. That's who we are. You're either one of these 12 tribes. Pick one out. Which one are you? Investigate. Come up and talk to us. Investigate. Find out. Do you know your nationality, ma'am? That's okay. But we're shopping on the Sabbath, doing our own due diligences. Read again, please.
Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Now, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
And that's talking about the Sabbath. You're not to do your own due diligences. I don't care what you have to do on that day in terms of, well, I gotta go get me some new shoes. I gotta get some new Nikes, some Adidas. Some Crocs, that's the new thing, right? Crocs, right? Why can't you do that during the 6 days during the week? Why do you have to wait until the Sabbath? God's holy day. Why? Doesn't make any sense. If he says do not do any type of work on his day, who are you to do what you need to do? Read that again, please.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do no work, that thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
You're not to do anything on that day. Nothing. But keep it holy. Read your Bible. This is the book of life. This is the book that will save you, that will give you salvation.
Right.
And only through this book. I didn't know that my history was in this book. No one told me that. It was hidden from me. as it is hidden from you. But you know what? Now you know. There is no excuse for not knowing your nationality. None whatsoever. Read that again, please.
But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates.
No work whatsoever. Give me Hebrews 4 and 12. Nothing at all. See, I'm trying to warn you like a trumpet. When it's sounded, everyone stops and listens when you hear that trumpet, because you're not to be doing your own due diligences on the Lord's day. Today is the Sabbath, the holy day, not your day, his day. 6 days, so you do your own due diligences. And the seventh day is a holy day. It starts from Friday sunset to Saturday sunset. What do you have?
Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword.
The word is sharper than any two-edged sword. It cuts like a knife. And you know what a knife cuts? It cuts down to the marrow, the bone marrow. This word does exactly the same thing. You can wait until after the Sabbath to do your things, whatever you need to do. But his day is that holy day, because 6 days he created the heavens and the earth. And on that day is a restful day. Read that again, please.
For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
You see, this word cuts like a knife. See, you have a choice. See, we had a gentleman here last week who was pretty much a wicked individual. He wanted to do his own thing. See, the Almighty gave us choices. You got to do good or evil. He wanted to do his own thing. That's why we have these choices. Well, the choice is for you to choose from. If you choose death, then you choose death. But he'd rather you choose life. Uh-huh. That's what he'd rather you choose. Am I correct? Yes, absolutely. Give me Deuteronomy. Let's talk about the blessings. If you do his word, then you will get these blessings. Deuteronomy 28, 1 and 6, 1 through 6. I'd rather have the blessings than the curses. So you have a choice. Life or death. That's what you have. What do you have here?
Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth.
If you hearken to his word, which means to listen, he will set you on high above all the nations of the earth. Not some of the nations, all of the nations of the earth, you will be set on high. That's what the Almighty said. Read it one more time.
And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth.
Very good. All the nations of the earth. Let's talk about the blessings. Give me one of the blessings.
And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee.
No, some of the blessings.
And all these blessings.
All these blessings.
Shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field.
Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Do you know what it would feel like to be blessed in the city? How many can walk around and say that you're blessed right now? Well, that's a Christian thing they always say. I'm blessed and highly favored. Well, I don't see it. I don't see it. I'm blessed and highly favored. That's one of the good Christian terms. Blessed and highly favored. Read that again, please.
Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field.
Blessed shall thou be in the city, and blessed shall thou be in the field. Where you live and where you work, you will be blessed if you were to adhere to the word of the Most High. Like following his commandments. That's given to Moses from Mount Sinai. Read that again, please.
Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, and the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, and the flocks of thy sheep.
So it says that you'll be blessed, the fruit of your body, which means your children, the fruit of your cattle. They will have good offspring. You will be blessed if you were to adhere to the word of the Most High. And it starts from hearing. Starts from hearing and asking questions so you can be edified, so you may know the truth. Give me that blessing, because we like hearing blessings too.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store.
Blessed shall be thy blessings and thy store. Read on.
Basket.
Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shall be that. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
So do you want these blessings or do you want the curses? You have a choice. You have a choice. Just like Eve in the Garden of Eden. Eden. Slack on that. She had a choice to not eat of the fruit of the tree and what she was told not to eat from. So she wanted to do what? Eat the fruit, which is the knowledge, and then pass it on to her husband, Adam, and brought him down into her little turmoil because she was commanded not to eat of that fruit. Because see, because we are a rebellious people. We think that the grass is greener on the other side. It can only be greener if you listen to the word of the Most High himself and his commandments. Read that again, please.
Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out.
So those are some of the blessings. Give me John 1:1-2.
John 1:2?
Yes, sir. John 1:2. We're talking about the word for a second here. Let's see what the Bible says about the word. John 1:1-2. The word.
Actually, 1:1.
Well, let's start with 1:1 then. Yeah, 1:1, then go to 2. Yes.
John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the word.
In the beginning was the word. In the beginning was the word. That's powerful. Words are very healing. Words have power. In the beginning was the word. Continue.
And the word was with God. And the word was God.
And the word was with God. Read that again, please.
And the word was God.
And the word was God. And the word was with God. So we were saying that the Almighty created the word. Am I correct? Right. Yes.
And he was the word.
And he was the word.
Right.
So how can you not listen to the word? Because the Almighty gave you ears to hear. He created your ears. So he gave you words, the word, so that you can listen to the word via your ears that he created for you. Let's go to, let's go John 1:2 with that. Let's go John 3:16. John 3:16.
I'll read verse 2. The same.
Verse 2. Sorry.
The same was in the beginning. The same was in the beginning with God.
The same was in the beginning with God, and that is the word itself. Let's go to John. I'm sorry, let's go to John 3:16. John 3:16. A very, very edifying scripture, which the Christians use all the time.
That they always misinterpret.
Without understanding. Well, hey, look, I didn't understand it myself. But you know what? I humbled myself to listen, to adhere to the understanding behind the scripture. Because we can come without all understanding, or listen to what the Christians or the Christian church have told you about that particular scripture, because they lack understanding.
Right.
They are blinded to the truth. Let's hear this verse.
John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
Okay, let's break that down a little bit. Let's go with the first one again.
For God so loved the world.
So God so loved the world. Now, when you think about that, you think about this global, round, sphere-shaped object. So God so loved the world. I would have thought that too. So God so loved the world. But you know, there are different types of worlds. There's the animal world. There's the insect world. There's the, what other type of worlds? There's the, give me one world.
The planets,
very good. Planet world, okay? The heavens are world. So there's all types of worlds. But if you were to search out the word world through your Bible dictionary, it will show you that he's talking about a group of people.
Right.
Okay, you can be a part of any type of world.
Uh-huh.
It could be the part of the LGBT world, the gay world. Those are all different types of worlds. But what world is he talking about? He's talking about the world of the Hebrew Israelites, talking about his people.
That's
and
right.
We talked about that earlier. His people, my people, the blacks, Hispanics, and the Native American Indians. Read that again, please.
John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, and whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.
So God so loved the world, so whoever believes in him shall not perish. And he's talking about his world. The 12 tribes, the blacks, the so-called blacks, Hispanics, and the Native American Indians. His world. That whosoever believes in him shall what again?
Shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
Shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
That's right.
So God so loved the world. He's not talking about your world. He's talking about the Hebrew Israelites' world, the 12 tribe of Israel. That's what he's talking about, the 12 tribes. Give me John 8 and 32. John 8 and 32. As a matter of fact, Scott said, let's go with that. John 8 and 32.
John chapter 8, verse 32. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
And ye shall love the truth. Read that again.
And ye shall know the truth.
Know the truth.
And the truth shall make you free.
And the truth shall make you free. That's very powerful. And ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free.
That's right.
Make you free. By knowing the truth. If you don't know the truth, guess what? You're not free. You're blinded by the right. fact. You see, these Jewish individuals, the so-called elite, they have hid the truth for so long, but it's all coming out now. It's been out, but we just never wanted to hear the truth. It's out. And everyone's flocking to the truth now because the truth hurts. But the truth is edifying as well at the same time because it cuts like a knife.
That's right.
Read that again, please.
John 8 and 32, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
And the truth shall make you free by knowing the truth.
Right.
I know the truth. It took me almost a lifetime to understand the truth. But you know what? I am so glad that I know the truth. I am up in my elderly ages now. And I was not given the truth by these so-called churches. I felt robbed. It was like someone pickpocketing you and taking something from you. They were taking away my salvation and not giving it to me. Read that again, please.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I feel free because I know the commandments.
Right.
Right. And I know I'm not supposed to be shopping on the Sabbath day and doing my own due diligences. Because I am not no longer a rebellious people. Walking on the Sabbath, doing our own due diligences. Creating sin, because sin is transgression of the law. You're going against, that's what transgression means, to go against something. And we're going against the Almighty's commandments. Commandments mean command to do something.
Right?
He's commanding you to do an exact thing, to show your love to Him. He created the heavens and the earth for you. And all He asks and requires of you is one day. And you can't give Him that day. That's all He wants. From sunset to sunset, from Friday to Saturday sunset. That's all He wishes for you to do. I feel good talking about the Word. I feel edified. I feel strength. I feel power as a result of this. And I thank the Most High for bringing me into this truth. Read that again, please.
And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The truth shall make you free. Give me John 8:34. The truth shall make you free. Just by knowing the truth. No longer shall you walk in utter darkness.
Right.
And pretending like you know.
Uh-huh.
Spewing out these Christian phrases. You hear them? Highly blessed. I'm blessed and highly favored. In the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus. Well, you don't understand what that means. And you need to come here and find out. And we will edify you. And let you know exactly what that means. What do you have there?
John 8 and 34. Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin.
Verily, verily, I say unto you, verily, verily, I say unto you, that whosoever committed sin does what?
Is the servant of sin.
Is the servant of sin. Imagine that. That three-letter word, S-I-N, sin.
Right.
You are a servant of sin if you keep committing that sin. A servant of that sin. Imagine that. Becoming a servant of a three-letter word. S-I-N. Sin. Read that again, please.
Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin.
Whoever committed sin is the servant of sin. You might as well walk around with a chain around your neck. And the master, the master himself, the slave master, pulling your chain,
right.
A ball and chain, because you are a servant of sin. A servant of sin because you want to do your own due diligences. Because sin is transgression of the law. Read that again, please.
Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committed sin is the servant of sin.
Very good. So we understand that now. Should be no misunderstanding. Give me John 14 and 15. Do not become a servant of sin. You might as well walk around, like I said, with a ball and chain around your neck. And someone toting you around because you can't get that sin off your back. Get that monkey off your back. Stop being a rebellious people. What do you have here?
John 14 and 15. John chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. If ye love me, keep my commandments. Read that again, please.
If ye love me, keep my commandments.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. Are you keeping his commandments, young man? How are you doing that?
How you doing that, man? Come on. Stop.
Discuss with us. We want to know, are you doing your own due diligences or what the Almighty want you to do? Read that again.
If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Call out the scripture.
John 14 and 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
If ye love me, keep my commandments. And where can you find that? John. Read it again.
John. John chapter 14, verse 15.
John 14. Chapter 14, verse 15. If ye love me, keep my commandments.
Don't wait until that day when the sky cracks and you start crying. Oh, what's going on? What's happening? You know what's happening. The Almighty is Judgment Day. It's time for him to crack that whip. To crack that whip, and he will. He's not a man of peace. He's a man of war. And he comes here to cut the word. So that word, because it cuts like a knife. And that's what it does. Give me John 4:22. John 4:22. Don't become a servant of sin. It's not a good thing to be walking around and having the word S-I-N control your life.
Right? That's right.
Don't let it control you. You control it. You control it. Read.
John 4:22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
Ye worship and know not what. Know not what you're worshiping. But you think you're worshiping the Most High, and you're not. Read that again, please.
Ye worship, John 4:22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews.
We know what we worship, and we're talking about the Hebrew Israelites. But ye know not what you worship. These false gods and idolatry, committing sin and fornication and adultery, and these false idols.